Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty, hour number two. Let's go. Satiki and Tierney Show here on CBS Sports Radio around the country. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. What's going on? As we're hanging from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney. A lot of football first hour, pro Friday, a lot of college football coming up this hour, sprinkle in with some hoops, a little more World Series in the third hour. Got Tim Tebow. Timmy, now batting for the New York Mets. Tim Tebow. We got Tim's going to join us here, and Tim's going to have to flush through, as we're going to attempt to do, a lot of uncertainty, at least once you get past the top three spots, you know, Bama, Clemson, the Buckeyes, and we could start throwing some darts at the board. But we need to weave this in, so I just saw that you put – I'll let you say this because you put it on our Slack chain about – we all know about Graham Mertz with Wisconsin, but there's other news for Wisconsin, and it's not good.
Yeah, no, their backup quarterback, Chase Wolf, who is a redshirt sophomore. Mertz was a redshirt freshman. Chase Wolf is a redshirt sophomore. Neither one of them were supposed to be the starting quarterback. Jake Cohn was. He led them to the Big Ten championship last year, but he's out with a foot injury, so the backups have been getting a lot of the burn. And Mertz was amazing in game one, threw for 5 touchdowns in their big win over Illinois, but he tested positive for the coronavirus. Well, guess who was in that quarterback room with him? His backup quarterback, Chase Wolf, who's also tested positive for the coronavirus. So it looks like, and that is if their PCR tests, which is the nasal swab, if those nasal swab tests come back positive, that then Wisconsin will be starting their fourth-string quarterback next weekend against Nebraska, which is just crazy to think about how this is going to affect, you know, this Wisconsin team. Look, we know they were good. They were before this season started. They were ranked number 9. They played well against Illinois. College campuses have been, I mean, they've been hit hard with the coronavirus, and you can assume the reasons why. Kids go out and they party and they hang out. They don't socially distance or wear masks or anything. But Wisconsin had the highest college caseload in the country, BT, 3,258 positive tests since the pandemic started. So it's not a surprise that a bunch of these kids are coming down with coronavirus. And we thought that they'd be able to get in 8 games in 8 weeks. Not happening.
No. And, you know, this really complicates, because this ties into the big picture. Once you get past the big boys, or at least the perceived big boys of the Bama, the Clemson, the Buckeyes here.
Yep.
You know, we were saying yesterday, well, all right, if you can navigate this Graham Mertz positive test here, before we knew if that it was confirmed with the nasal test, and obviously it has been. Well, you have Nebraska coming up this week. All right, Nebraska, you should beat them. All right, you got Purdue after that over Camp Randall Stadium. Nah, you should beat that. Mm-hmm. You should win that game. Then you have Michigan, and Michigan looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Michigan looked good, and that's Saturday, November 14th, and you do the math here, that's a problem. And right now, we at least both said, well, without Mertz, you could get by Nebraska, get by Purdue, but I mean, I barely know anything about Chase Wolf. I know about the guy who's behind him.
I know, exactly. I mean, not at all. No. And by the way, Michigan had an emergency stay-at-home order to all of its students, except for the football team, last week. So, I mean, this thing is just – in college, is going to be interesting how we navigate all of these positive tests in the Big Ten specifically, because if you test positive – and it's confirmed, it's 21 days.
Yep.
21 days. That's just disruptive to any type of consistency or chance of winning, especially if you're playing some of the big boys in that conference. So it's something to keep an eye on at Wisconsin. It could get ugly. It could be a great opportunity for one of these young kids if they themselves, who are also probably in the quarterback meeting room, are also not going to test positive.
That's
It's a little bit crazy to think about when it gets, when it all gets said and done.
I'm going to talk to Tim Tebow coming up next. Tim's going to join us and talk about this. And just as a quick aside, and obviously, who he thinks could kind of squeeze into that fourth spot, Notre Dame, Georgia, OK State, maybe Cincinnati, maybe Wisconsin, if they can somehow get through unscathed here, which seems very unlikely. But just as a quick aside, because you talk about the Big Ten,
mm-hmm.
I saw a tweet from our buddy John Rothstein today, and Cal out of the Pac-12, from a basketball point of view, had to shut down or suspend operations for a little bit there. Teak, I don't know how there's going to be a college basketball season, because if you do now maybe the Big East and the Pac-12 and the ACC, maybe they can navigate it a little bit, at least pertaining to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The way it goes, okay, so listen. With Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf and Wisconsin, if three games in 21 days, okay. But in college, and that's even unfair to navigate if you have positive tests there. But if you have a basketball program plays on, say Monday or Tuesday, and then you always play on the weekend, aside from the rare, once a month bye. So you're playing two games a week. So instead of three games over the course of 3 weeks, now it's minimally six, possibly a seventh. I don't know how the Big Ten is going to have a basketball season.
No, if they keep the same rules in place.
Well, they are.
Because they have to. Yeah, there is no way that they're going to get it done. Because one positive means, especially basketball, which is more intimate than football, it could be devastating to their basketball season. But, that's down the line. We'll have to see how that works out.
I'll be honest with you. As much as we had the conversation last week setting up the SMU-Cincinnati game,
mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm like, Cincinnati. I mean, they were the higher ranked of the two, and I thought they'd win the game.
Yeah.
But now here they are. They hung almost 50 points on them. They won by 30-something points. Their quarterback, Ritter, was great again. And, as I look to, all right, where can we find that fourth team? I got to be honest. I've got no interest in watching Notre Dame play for a championship mm-hmm. right now. I've got no interest in watching Georgia play. If I had to handicap it, the two teams – I'm coming around to the Cowboys, and I'm coming around to the Bearcats.
Yeah, the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Yeah, you're right. Because, they started bad, Oklahoma State, but they've gotten better every week, and somehow they've won even games that they didn't play good enough to win. Chuba Hubbard is becoming the guy that we saw last year. Their defense is the best in the Big 12 right now. That is because they play defense. And so if you're going to put a team in this year that's non-traditional, not the SEC powers. I don't want to hear anything about a one-loss Georgia team. If you're looking at the full resume and the talent, because they do that, just like they do in the NCAA basketball tournament. Stetson Bennett, if they've lost a game in, maybe even another one, I don't know how they do this without, getting to the SEC championship and beating Alabama. They're not going to be a one-loss Georgia team. So it's almost not worth it for Georgia. And it first begs the question, we need a non-traditional. And if you're not going to get a non-traditional, meaning Cincinnati, if they keep playing as good as they are, as they have been, BT, as you just mentioned, if you're not going to put the Cincinnati Bearcats in this year, or BYU, because BYU is playing great and their schedule is relatively, straightforward, and I don't want to say easy because that's just disrespecting their opponents, but mm-hmm, what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's straightforward for
them. They'll be favored every game.
Exactly. It's straightforward for them to go undefeated. If you're not going to put Cincinnati or BYU in, if they have great seasons and undefeated seasons, then just tell us you're never going to put, one of these non-traditionals in, and they can go find another solution for their postseasons as opposed to just playing in bowl games. But if they're going to opt for, a one-loss SEC squad or a, one-loss Notre Dame ACC in the ACC this year,
mm-hmm.
then, the Group of Five needs to just be excluded from the college football playoffs conversations.
Correct. That's it. No more conversations, no more.
Because this is the year you would do it. You know what I mean?
It's certainly one that would jump out. We've we've had this conversation over the years, and we've never really had to dive too deeply into the real distinct possibilities, because there was always minimally four powerhouses that jumped out.
That's right.
You know, and they always had like five, six, seven, eight. Well, one, somebody's going to make a move. Mm-hmm. But this year,
who is it? Central Florida got close once.
Yep. Well, didn't you hear that they're national champions?
That's right. That's right.
They didn't get close. They came through.
That's right. They did. In one poll, they are the national champions. That's all that matters.
Yep. They got rings
but,
at all.
If that's going to be the case, then just tell us. It's all good. Just tell us. Like, stop, you know, putting them in the poll as number six, you know, in the college football playoff when it finally comes out, the rankings. Number six is Cincinnati, but they have no chance of getting to the college football playoff. Uh-huh. We're not going to allow that to happen. Just tell us.
Yeah, they'll never do that. They're rarely forthright about mm-hmm. the most benign stuff. They're gonna, you know, delve deeply into basically a conspiracy within the all. I doubt it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, because nobody, or I shouldn't say nobody, but the probability that, you know, it's not a full house. If they're worried about, well, Jesus, Cincinnati going to bring 40,000 people or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, BYU would travel like that. Oklahoma State, and maybe I'm selling Cincy a little short, but any fears that they have from a monetary point of view about not being able to sell all the seats, the allotment to one of these schools, could be mitigated by the fact that you won't be allowed to have 100% capacity anyway. So maybe they get off the hook there. But to be determined, and these are all things we're going to throw by the great Tim Tebow. Tim joins us next. What do the Wisconsin Badgers do? I mean, how talented is the fourth guy on any depth chart at any college? I mean, let alone somebody that's a top 10 school right now trying to do something big. Is this the year Harbaugh cracks through? We'll talk to Tim Tebow. That's next right here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, there's no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Pretty easy stuff. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means a whole lot more with DraftKings, because you can win some scratch. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, got to manage your money, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Now, nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions in prizes. So if you haven't signed up yet, what the heck are you waiting for? I tell you every day about DraftKings. Just hop on your phone, download the app. It's free. It's simple. It's so easy to navigate. Get in the game right from the couch. Download the app and use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, new users get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the action and all the fun. Again, code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Give yourself a chance to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Code Tierney, that's me, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, only at DraftKings. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's DraftKings.com. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico, 1-855-212-4227. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So, would LeBron really skip the first month of the next NBA season? One of his teammates says, yeah, probably would. We'll get to that story coming up right here on this busy Tuesday. Feel free to tweet us. Talked about another little radio meltdown for Jerry Jones. Oh, God. Get your thoughts on that. The Bears quarterback situation. Foles, take a seat. I'd give it back to Trubisky. Anyway, get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. As we wait for the great Tim Tebow to give us a call here, we're going to talk with Tim in a little bit. You know, I want to know, because I don't know if this strange year would serve as a good exit, if he wants to, for Michigan. And listen, I don't know how viable Michigan is in terms of being a legitimate top 10. And we'll find out.
Yeah.
So we don't even need to dissect it. Like, we'll get the answer with that eventually. But, you know, if they were able to get, you know, that fourth team, if it's Michigan, do you think, given the various allotment of NFL jobs, including one that's going to have the first overall pick mm-hmm. with Trevor Lawrence, do you think that he might jump back to the NFL this year, Jim Harbaugh?
I mean, it would make sense this year because, look, jumping from college, really jumping from, you know, not having an NFL job to having an NFL job is never ideal when there isn't a quarterback, like a stable quarterback situation. It's just, it's like a recipe for disaster. Sometimes it works out, you know, think of Matt Nagy for a little bit, you know, but like LaFleur in Green Bay, it was a perfect opportunity. Even Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, it was perfect because you knew you were going to draft Kyler Murray with number one overall pick. But if you're not jumping into the NFL without that quarterback position resolved, it's fraught with a lot of, you know, pitfalls. So I'm going to say it depends.
That's a fair answer. Listen, maybe our next guest knows. He's certainly a great analyst, one of the greatest college players of all time. That is for absolute certainty. Just great spirit, great passion for the game. Really anything he does, he is really good at. He even has a little opposite field power. It's Tim Tebow. Hey, Tim, Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're doing awesome. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to get a chance to rap with you for a little bit about the sport of football. But before we go there, you know, obvious, you know, listen, we were amazed that, you know, I mean, I don't know how you hit any of these balls over the fence. you know, not playing baseball for well over a decade, you showed some opposite field power, as I said. Obviously a weird year with COVID, no minor league baseball. Just for the record, so we all know what you're thinking, you're not officially done with baseball yet, are you? You going to go back to Mets camp or no?
I mean, gosh, I hope not. I mean, it has been, you know, I guess disappointing and a little bit frustrating, but on the grand scheme compared to what a lot of people have had to go through for the last 8 months, it's nothing. And so we all have disappointments, and it definitely was disappointing, but I think it's important to keep everything in a perspective. And so while it was frustrating, it's important. There's a lot of people that are having to go through a lot more than that right now.
That's crazy, though, man. I'm sitting there watching a World Series. I'm saying, when I knew we had you on the show, I don't know. Tim's got a good seat in the Adelaide. I don't know if everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour these days, Tim. Everybody.
I'll tell you what, I know. I was sitting there watching that too, and I was like, well, how many lefties are in the bullpen, man? Come on. Like, back in the day, it was like, you know, you would see a couple of them. Now it's everybody's, you know, feels like they got five lefties in the pen and they're all throwing above 95. That doesn't seem fair anymore.
Yeah, they're making athletes a little bit better these days, Tim. Hey, Tim, I know you just jumped off of this call with the AFCA and Allstate, and you had a conversation with Trajan Butler from Stanford and Teton Saltz from New Mexico. This is their Good Works team, and you were an honoree back in 2009. And that just ended a live broadcast on your Instagram handle. How did that go? Because I think it's a great award. It's a great honor. It's one of the, you know, sports awards that sometimes people don't see, but it's maybe one of the most important because it's about mentorship. Tell us how it went.
It was awesome. Honestly, you know, the Allstate Good Works team is one of my favorite things to talk about because it's about what these young kids do off the field. And so many times, so many of them get praised for what they do on the field. And I love that. I believe in that too. But we have to make off the field more important than on the field. And what these 22 young men that are part of the team have done is truly changed lives in their community and their families and hospitals, schools, even prisons and around the world on different mission trips. And so I love it because I get to interview, I get to hype them up. We go on service projects together. And it's important because, you know, I want to make the next generation be able to look at these guys and see what they're doing off the field is just as cool as what they're doing on the field. And so it was amazing, you know, interviewing Teton, you know, a young man who serves in different reservations, who serves with medical care, he serves with the needy, he serves in anti-bullying, he serves in suicide hotlines. I mean, it's just like this kid's trying to be a senior offensive lineman, and yet he's doing all of these other things, right? And so it's important to be able to learn how to pull and run someone over. But, man, how much more important is it to, you know, help a kid when they're thinking about committing suicide? And that's worth us celebrating, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, but that's why, Tim, that's why you always so effectively and very believably balance football with what's really important. And that's why we've got tremendous respect for you. Talking to Tim Tebow, pardon me, one of the great champions, great competitors. The guy had a motor that never ended, obviously. And Tim is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tim, let's get to some college football. I'm going to jump all the way across to the middle of the country, Wisconsin. I'm sure you've seen this story with Graham Mertz, who had a great opening game against Illinois, test positive for the coronavirus. Now it looks like his backup, Chase Wolf, has tested positive for the coronavirus. They're going to be on their fourth-string quarterback because Jake Cohn, their starter, had surgery this offseason. This isn't necessarily about Wisconsin and what they're going to do going forward, but can you imagine how this is affecting this team? The Big Ten set out from the early part of the college football season because of the coronavirus. They decide to come back, and immediately it impacts one of the top 10 teams, at least ranking preseason top 10 teams in football. How devastating could this be for Wisconsin and for the Big Ten in general? These kids got to sit out 21 days.
Crazy. I mean, it's absolutely what a crazy story, and especially after this young man just played his first game, and it was the game of his life. Other quarterbacks dream of having a game like that. He did it on day one. And so, honestly, I feel bad for Graham. I feel bad for Wisconsin. It will be intriguing to see. I haven't been able to see everything with the story, so I don't know if he could possibly get three negative tests like Nick Saban did and be able to bounce back. I'm not sure all the rules in the Big Ten. I have heard of other people testing positive, and they've gotten tested multiple times afterwards, and it was a false positive. So I'm intrigued to see if that's a possibility. But I hurt for this kid. He's worked so hard. I hurt for their team. And honestly, you just think about how hard it is for those coaches right now trying to balance. I mean, how are they going to adjust? Who are they going to get ready for as their backup now? But this is a little bit of what coaches are going through all over the place. You know, Florida's dealing with, I think, 25 or 26 cases right now.
Wow.
And had a game suspended and pushed back. So there's a lot of places that are trying to figure out. And this is, you know, my encouragement is when I've had the chances to talk to teams is really try to be your brother's keeper genuinely now. Like, look out for one another. Encourage each other to be in the right places. Social distancing. Wear your mask. Hand sanitizer. All the little things that right now they need to be big things.
Yep.
And as much as you can, just try to be your brother's keeper and look out for him. And hopefully for Graham and the entire team that they can, I wish them a speedy recovery in their process. And hopefully maybe they even got a false positive. You never know. But, it's worth hoping for.
You know, it's probably almost a waste of time to do this, but let's give it a shot anyway, because there's going to be, unfortunately, Tim, more positive tests that disrupt seasons, prominent players, programs inside the top 10. But right now it's October 27. Let's react to what we've seen and what we know. We know Bama's loaded, even with the injury. We know Clemson's loaded. We know the Buckeyes look loaded again. If we're looking for a fourth team, are your eyes at least willing to shift down to the Bearcats, to Oklahoma State? We saw Georgia. We've seen Notre Dame. I mean, where do you think that fourth team can – I know it's early, but where do you think they could be right now, Tim?
Yeah, being as transparent and honest, I don't think so. I don't think in watching – and I haven't watched every one of Cincinnati's games, but I've watched almost every play of Oklahoma State, and I have not seen necessarily the consistency, the physicality, and the consistency at quarterback. I think both are really good teams, but I think if we're talking number four, I think both of them are deserving to be up there in the rankings, but number four, like when I think about that, I compare them against the Florida, against the Georgia, against, certain teams that you think, wow, how could they match up against Florida's offense? How could they match up against Georgia's defense? And really those are two teams I would probably balance at four with looking into a couple other around the country, still waiting to see the Pac-12 play.
Yep.
Very impressed with Wisconsin, but I need to see them play someone with real speed and talent. And so really intrigued to see what happens. But I would say, first glance right now, I think it would be they would be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And, even though they got a great player in Chuba Hubbard and a few others, I still think they're on the outside looking in right now.
And so it sounds like, and I think this is what a lot of people are surmising, that a one-loss SEC squad like Georgia or like your Florida Gators, who have, you know, one of the really good and top-end quarterbacks and Kyle Trask and his tight end, is amazing as well. You know, it looks like a one-loss Florida team or a SEC team might have an edge over these non-traditionals, these group of five squads. And at this point, don't you think they should just tell us the group of five is never going to make it in?
Gosh, I just really hope that if there's a team that's good enough that they get in. And I'm not sure if that's a Cincinnati this year, but I tell you, if there was a playoff, let's say in 2008, when we had the privilege of winning the championship, that Utah team that beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, that Utah team was a fantastic team.
Yeah.
Now they're in the Power Five, but there's different teams along the way that could have been, that maybe had the ability, if there was a playoff before the playoff system, you know, could have been good enough. But I think hopefully soon there'll be a team. And genuinely how I evaluate it is, who are the four best teams at the end of the year? I think this year is one of the hardest to evaluate because you don't have conference versus conference. So it's really going to go down to the eye test. And I hope that they don't look at just what's your record or you know, what are your wins and losses, or you didn't play enough games. I hope it truly goes down to evaluation of the eye test of truly the four best teams. They put those four best teams. I don't care if they're a group of whatever. Like, if they're the four best teams, put them in and give them a shot to go win a national championship. I hope we find a team that's in. I hope we find a Cincinnati. If Cincinnati can run the table and they get better and better, I want to see more consistency out of them. But if they do, I would give them a shot if I was voting.
Love it. That's what I want to hear. We're talking to Tim Tebow. You mentioned Utah, you know, back in the day, Boise State. You never – listen, I'd like to see that window open as well. But I want to ask you something about Trevor Lawrence. Now, you played for the Jets. Not that the Jets ever used you properly, but you were on the Jets, okay? And since you were there –
I stood on the sidelines for him.
Hey, listen, I'm a Jets fan. I was rooting for you, man. Trust me. But since you were there, Tim, they've only gotten worse. They have the same owner, which means they, for the most part, have the same infrastructure. If you were advising Trevor Lawrence, back in the day, Peyton Manning said, I'm not playing for the Jets, and it worked out great. If Trevor said, Tim, what do you think, man? What would you tell Trevor Lawrence about, you know, he's going first. Should he go to the Jets? Is that a place that could ruin him?
Well,
I
think he's got to do a lot of evaluation, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking to wise counsel, looking at a good situation and what that might be. You know, it would be hearing from the Jets. What are their plans? How are they going to surround him? I mean, I really am a huge believer that in college, but even more so in the NFL, your success is so much predicated on the system and what's around you, right? When these quarterbacks are in the right system, where the system fits who they are, how they play, how they can compete and how they can succeed, and they put good pieces around them, then guys do good. It's crazy how that happens. But when they go into other places where there's turmoil and chaos and they don't have good players around them, then guess what? They're not as good. And I think there's been so many quarterbacks that had a chance of being good that weren't put in a good system around them, that weren't put in a position to succeed. You know, I think, you know, you look at a bunch of examples around the league right now, but one of them is Kyler. I mean, look at the way that they use him, and he's succeeding so well and putting up great numbers because Cliff Kingsbury, you know, we knew that coming from all of his college days, but he was going to put Kyler in a position to succeed. Now, it took a little while, but now Kyle's flourishing. And they're not doing stuff that the NFL has really ever done.
Yeah.
And doing it so much differently. And so I love that. And so I would really encourage Trevor to find out, how are they going to use you? How are they going to support you? What are those areas that you feel are going to be able to take you to the next level? Because that's based on him. That's not me. And no one else can give him that advice. And so if I was him, I would genuinely try to evaluate everything and look at it with open eyes, because I do think that he will have a because he's so good and he's so talented, and he's a great prospect. he will have leverage.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's interesting, Tim, when I think about you, you came into the league 8 to 10 years too early because if you'd come in now, you would have gotten what these quarterbacks are getting, a system that fits the quarterback, not the system that fits the head coach who's or coordinator who's a guru. And I love that. I love the transition of the college game seeping in to the NFL game. You see it every year. Somebody, you know, embraces it. Look at Lamar Jackson. I mean, it makes the NFL actually funner when you have athletes playing quarterback. Tim, we really appreciate you hopping on with us. And again, the All-State Good Works team, I know you've been a big part of this. You were the 2009 honoree yourself. You just hosted with Trajan Butler and Teton Saltz from New Mexico, that big offensive lineman you were talking about. Keep up the good work with mentorship and the importance of being, as you said, actually referring to a question about coronavirus, your brother's keeper and your neighbor's keeper. Good job, Tim. We always appreciate you hopping on with us.
Well, appreciate you guys. Y'all do a great job, and thanks for everything you do. We'll look forward to hopefully talking again soon.
Most certainly.
You got it there, Tim. We appreciate you, buddy. He's a legend, man. You know, it's funny, too. He said a few times, you know, brother's keeper. And what scene do you have? What movie is in your head when he's saying that? And I'm saying, yeah, that's not New Jack City that he's am I brother's keeper? No. I don't think that's Tim referencing that movie in that scene.
I can guarantee you he's never even seen that movie.
More of a biblical reference for sure, but not what with Wesley Snipes on the rooftop. I get it. Oh, jeez. He is.
That was a great flick, though.
He's a great movie. One of my all-time favorites. That's a great movie. He is. He really is. He is a modern legend, man. Listen. In the NFL, even though he threw the 80-yard touchdown pass against the Steelers in the playoff game, remember that? I mean, first play in overtime. You know, the throwing, it just wasn't there. Whatever.
Well it's what I just said, BT.
As a college player?
But, BT, it's what I just said. The offensive system that John – who was that? Who was the coach? I forget who it was. They just weren't suited. NFL offenses weren't suited for quarterbacks like him. Now they are, where you can zone read. You know, you can use your athleticism. Lamar Jackson is a significantly better running back than he is a quarterback. He does both, and he's listed as a quarterback. But if Tim Tebow came in and a coordinator was like, all right, I see what you do great. That's the only thing that we're going to do. Mm. He might have hung around in the NFL.
You mean that he wasn't destined to be a pocket protector? A punt protector?
No, he wasn't Taysom Hill before Taysom Hill. You know, he was a great college quarterback. You're right.
One of the best of all time.
Never translated in the NFL.
Nope. Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, saw something earlier where he actually gave a first real hint at what he's thinking for next season in terms of maybe going back to Clemson, or as most people thought, obviously entering the draft and being the first overall pick. This might surprise you. We'll weave that in. We'll get to Danny Green. Imagine LeBron saying, you know what? I'm tired. I want a championship. I'm bubbled out. You guys go ahead and start the season without me. I'll meet you in about a month or so. Seems crazy, but it could actually happen based on what one of his teammates said. So we'll get to that story next. Axe update is right now. Here's Rich.
Tim Tebow in the house. Gotta love it. All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a matchup of two elite teams taking on each other for divisional supremacy. The AFC North, big spot when the Pittsburgh Steelers hook up with the Ravens. They bring their defense to Baltimore. Ravens, not too shabby either. Battle with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, plus a key AFC showdown between the Bills and the reeling Pats. Join JB and the guys. They get you set up for all the action on the NFL today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday, the NFL on CBS. Get you going. All right, we're going to get to the NBA here, but before we move on, because one of the last things we asked Tim Tebow, who played for the Jets, granted for a minute, but at least he knows, you know, their infrastructure, et cetera. So he was asked on a conference call, Trevor was today, about, you know, the growing whispers that, yeah, maybe there's a power play, maybe he goes back to school. Here's what he said, quote, "My mindset has been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. No matter where I go, whether I stay another year or not, we'll work it out," end quote. Now, I still see this as just leverage for, you know, if it is indeed the Jets, to get, you know, the coach that he wants and all the things that he wants to leverage that. I don't see him going back to school at all. Do you?
No, I can't see that happening.
Not at
all. It wouldn't make any sense. You risk injury, and it's just a year less of making millions of dollars. And, you know, I remember having this almost exact conversation with Peyton Manning. Now, the money back in 1998, now the money wasn't nearly the same, which made it even more interesting, because you think now a quarterback who comes into the NFL, if he's a star, the money is so big, it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? But 1998, where you're making, you know, $10 million a year, not, you know, 30, it's like missing out a year of $10 million. And, you know, you extrapolate that out and you're like, all right, so if he plays 15 years and he's going to make, you know, $150 million, let's say that's like $70 million. Like, it's good money, but it's not like life changing. You're never going to make up that $10 million. Nowadays, you can say, I can stay in school for a year and it doesn't matter, right, if I don't make that first contract, because I will make it up at some point down the line, especially with how quickly the salary cap is accelerating and the contracts for quarterbacks are growing over the years.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's not the consideration, I don't think. I think the consideration here is whether or not he wants to play for the Jets. And does he have the power to change their organizational structure? That's coach, etc. I'd say no, but man, I wouldn't put anything past anything in 2020.
I'd say more yes than no. I think that there's a desperation that's crept into this ownership group. Yeah, you would hope.
Yes, there is a desperation. I would agree, BT, but is there enough care? That's the thing that I don't know.
Yeah, that I can't answer. I do believe there's enough intelligence with Joe Douglas, but we'll see. And by the way, I mean, even if he says, yeah, I'm going back to school, the Jets go 2-14 next year, they could have him first overall again.
Yeah, you're right.
So you never know. I'd be stunned if he goes back to school. Anyway, the NBA, and you and I touched on this a little bit yesterday, that it looks as if it's going to start earlier than we thought. Most projections were, you know, early January, maybe not even early January, but there were some outlets that had it maybe even in March. Which I thought was a little nuts there. But basically what happened was Adam Silver met with his financial people and they said, we got to get this thing back going soon.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get this going. We hemorrhaged money, you know, part of its ratings, but not entirely, not all entirely driven by the ratings. So they are motivated clearly to get back out there as soon as possible, you know, delete 10 games, go from 82 to 72. They're already going to announce the no all-star game, et cetera, et cetera. The quotes from Danny Green are interesting here. Basically, Danny said, I don't mean the quotes are there, but I'll just paraphrase, suggests that LeBron and other various Laker veterans aren't a big fan of this targeted start date of December 22,
mm-hmm.
Because they'd only have a two-month offseason here. And he even goes so far as to say that he doesn't think LeBron would show up for the first month, which is probably him trying to hammer home a point than actually believing that LeBron would not show up. But boy, do you think that the December 22nd start date is irresponsible on the part of the NBA?
No, I don't think it is irresponsible on the part of the NBA. I think it's important for them financially, just like it is for all sports entities right now. We've had this conversation about NCAA basketball. They have to play the tournament this year. There's no chance that they're not going to do it. Same thing you can say with baseball. You know, the ratings mattered, but it was really the fans, like the lack of fans that caused them to lose 40% or more, who knows even really, of their top line revenue. Football's having the same issue. Like, I think the more games you can play next year, and we know it's going to be truncated, whether it's, you know, 60 something or 72, according to this new plan in December, the better. You got to get the product out there. And if that means that, you know, some of your vets aren't going to play heavy minutes or at all, then so be it. You got to put the product out there, because that's what's demanded from the public.
Let me play this cut. I want everybody to hear exactly what Danny's thinking. Here's what he said about, well, what we just hit, Danny Green.
December 22nd is not even mine. I think most guys, if they said we start in December, I think they're like, I'm not going to be there. If I had to guess, because we have a lot of vets on our team, and these guys, we just played a whole season. Bron's been in the finals 10 years out of his 17 years, which is unbelievable mentally. You know, it's training to do that. And to have that quick of a restart, I wouldn't expect to see him there. I wouldn't expect to see him probably for the first month of the season. He'll probably be working out with us, probably do some playing. But I just don't expect guys to want to be there or show up willingly.
And by the way, with the championship in tow, you know, Laker fans will be fine with that. He would catch no heat, and I think we'd all understand it. But see,
they're not just serving the players who, you know, were grinding toward the end, like, you know, not just the Lakers, but Miami and even the teams in the conference championships. That was a long bubble stint. The problem, though, and I think this is what they're very aware of, in addition to the monetary concerns, the teams that did not go to the restart, right? The eight bad teams. Was it eight? I guess it was eight.
Yeah.
The teams that didn't qualify. Like, you know, the Knicks played March 11th. If they started the season, say, in February, I mean, Teak, that's a year, basically, with nothing.
Yeah.
So, and you've got to look out for the league, not just the aging superstars, the entire league.
Yeah. And again, am I going to care if LeBron doesn't play the first month of the season? Not necessarily.
No, I wouldn't care either.
You know what I mean?
I really wouldn't.
I mean, LeBron's the example you're using, but there may be a few others as well. I wouldn't really care. And again, it would probably only be a handful of guys that do this. And I know Danny Green's being flippant and trying to get a cool soundbite on his buddy's podcast, but I don't think it would be so egregious that we'd be like, oh my God, this 15 guys aren't playing. I don't think that would be the case. I think that the league and the union would agree. Look, if you're not going to play and it's going to cost us money, then there's got to be some penalty here, right? There's no injury. There's no reason for you not to be here other than rest. There'll be some penalty, and guys will opt back in. But I didn't even think about the point that you just made. But that's real. You can't not play basketball competitively for a year.
Yep.
And if you push it back to February, it stunts and hurts development of so many of these young teams, because a lot of those teams that didn't make it, those eight, they're just young. You know what I mean? And now you're going to go an entire year without them being together or playing basketball
because of
COVID restrictions. It's not right. It's not fair.
It's not fair. It stunts development. Now, listen, they've been able to get to do some individual workouts, but, you know, you're talking about, you know, the Pistons, the Knicks, Atlanta, the Cavaliers, and I know that they don't matter in the big picture right now. The Warriors, although they obviously matter. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the, I think I'm missing one team that didn't go to the restart there. And it's a superstar-driven league, but the other issue is roster construction, because just the way everything's jammed in between the draft, between free agency, you know, I don't think it's an easy solution. That's why I'm not going to be overly critical of any plan that the NBA unveils. I'm going to keep an open mind and see. All right, let me let this marinate for a sec. Let me look at it from all angles, the superstars, the young teams, and everything in between, and hopefully that they can find some common ground. But this is not an easy solution for Adam Silver.
Yeah, no, it's not. But when push comes to shove, when you're looking for an answer, money is often the driving force. And the money, and you hit it at the very beginning, and you're so right. They can't not play as many games as possible. They have to find a way to play as many games as possible, given how much money they lost.
They lost a lot of money.
Because it was, what did I read? It was like 1.5 billion. Maybe it's probably more than, I think it was like $1.5 billion. The shortcoming in total league revenue. That's all the teams, obviously, and the league itself. $1.5 billion because of this pandemic, and obviously the stuff that happened in China at the beginning of the season. It's a big, big deal how much money they didn't make this year. Now, they made a ton, but they lost a ton too.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I don't know that there's, let's face it, whether it's December 22nd or January 22nd, do you really think there's going to be 20,000 fans in the arenas? The answer is no.
No, exactly right.
No chance.
So even if you have 72 games, your gate's still going to be a percentage of what it normally is.
Well, think about it. The reason they went back for the restart to fulfill the obligations to the local networks, which is why 72 is the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a little less than about the bodies in the building than the actual games played. But they're juggling, and that's why Silver gets a lot of money. He's got to come up with the right answer. Hey, Belichick, can Cam still play? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.